Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Monday, August 5th, 2019. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have John Martellaro. Hi, John.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
I'm glad to have you with me today. Also today, I'm glad to have with me Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Hello.
All right. So, our first topic today is an interesting bit of news from last week, John, that you picked up in particle debris.
Yeah, in the course of my reading, I ran across a lot of pieces and parts about the future MacBook Pros. There were three pieces that I put together that I saw. One is that Intel has announced and launched the Ice Lake processor, which is the follow-on to Coffee Lake and Coffee Lake Refresh. It's the substitute for the failed Cannon Lake. It's 10 nanometers, and it's the next generation chip. And thank goodness it's just in time. And the PCs, it's supposed to start shipping in quantity in the fourth quarter of this year. And the PC world would likely jump all over it in that quarter or early January. And part two, and of course, the idea is that Jason Cross posits that, of course, we'll see these in MacBook Pros and MacBook Airs sometime in 2020. Apple is, unexplained reasons, unusually late in compared to the PC industry in folding new CPUs into its systems. And so we're not looking for the Ice Lake in the rumored 2019 16-inch MacBook, which is rumored for October, but likely in the spring and summer of 2020, we'll see Ice Lake MacBook Pros and MacBook Airs. There's 9 watts and then a 15-watt configuration. I think the 9 watts probably suitable for the Air and the 15 for the Pros. Then part two, I saw an article at 9to5 Mac, rumoring that, Cult of Mac. Cult of Mac, that Apple could introduce cellular 5G MacBooks in 2020. And now there's always been that mystery about why our phones and iPads have wireless data, but MacBook Pros do not, especially since people are mobile. Mm-hmm. Maybe don't trust their Wi-Fi network, maybe in a place where they don't have connectivity other than 5G, it would be very fast and very convenient. And then third, of course, there's some very strong recurring and almost, I would say, almost solid rumors that Apple's going to dump the butterfly mechanism keyboard and go back to a scissors design in their MacBooks in 2020.
Feed into the wood chipper.
Mm-hmm. To the wood chipper. Now that iTunes is taken care of, we can put that wood chipper to better use.
You know, I was thinking that just as you said it. Well, now that we've dispensed with all the iTunes nonsense, we can't dispense with the wood chipper yet. We need it for those keyboards.
Yeah. So basically, I just laid out the three elements that I read in the three different places and put together a surmise that we're going to see some really cool MacBook Airs and MacBook Pros in 2020.
Now, you're combining this with the possibility that these are also, that these designs are ones where possibly Johnny Ive's influence isn't 100%, right? Because that was the thing I thought of when you started coming up with these ideas about what was coming down the laptop line was, you know, once we got a little bit better idea of the fact that he hasn't been quite as day-to-day and hands-on, that maybe there's even something more interesting that might happen with these on the outsides, not just the insides, with these kind of processors.
I read an article a while back that 5G antenna technology on notebooks is a little bit awkward, and it could be a good reason to dispense with a 5G antenna in a MacBook or a MacBook. When I say MacBook, I mean MacBook Air or a Pro, of course. So it's just a guess that maybe this keyboard issue and maybe the 5G issue are something that some engineers and managers at Apple have wanted all along, and Johnny was consistently vetoing for the sake of slickness and slimness and coolness and design.
Mm-hmm.
That's the word that's going around the water cooler. That's a good surmise.
Mm-hmm. And that's like, there were two things I sort of wanted to see. And one of them was, what the computers look like once his influence is lessened. And then what the first thing is that comes out of Apple that he wasn't part of from the start.
I don't think they're going to get a lot thicker dramatically.
No.
Maybe a millimeter or two. We're still going to see the four USB-C ports. Probably the audio jack is not going to go away anytime soon. Because you don't have to worry about it being submerged. Very few people drop their MacBook Pro in a bathtub or in the swimming pool.
Listen, I'm gonna throw some mud on this.
Yes.
Idea that the MacBooks are suddenly going to get thicker, even by a millimeter or two. If Apple were to release MacBooks that were thicker, and even if it was to accommodate the more battery power that we all want, mm-hmm. there would let loose a cyclone of, oh my God, Apple can't design anymore now that Johnny's gone, buffoonery that would deafen everybody and their brother.
Yeah, but Brian, that's the pundit approach with the engineers and the technical people and the creative professionals and the technical professionals and the scientists that have been wanting was better battery life, better cooling, more memory, which all fit together because of the high power as opposed to the low power DDR that they've been using. So sure, there's going to be some people who like to throw sand in Apple's face, but everybody else in the community who uses the machines for power and for productivity is going to be going, wow, I got more power.
Golly, I so admire your willingness to be optimistic on this particular front. There's like the directive is going to be to make design still be good. And Johnny is still like consulting too. Don't forget that.
Right.
I hear what you're saying, John. I don't think that's ever really been the case at Apple. Not even under Steve. I think that design has been paramount since Steve came back. And I expect that for the sake of the stock, that Apple's board and Apple's upper management are going to want to make it seem like Apple can continue to design products like Johnny did, even without Johnny there.
Yeah, but don't forget about this pro business, about Apple designing pro machines that have more power and are correspondingly more expensive and have a higher average selling price. We've seen it in the Mac Pro. We've seen it in the iMac Pro. We've seen it in the idea of about a powerful 16-inch MacBook Pro. So it does kind of fit in with this meme of making the machines just a little bit more pro-ish and a little bit more powerful and a little bit more expensive than they have in the past.
I think we only have one data point supporting that, and that would be the as-yet-unpriced Mac Pro. I mean, the iMac Pro is in the same... Yeah, we don't know what the Mac Pro is going to be priced at. And the iMac Pro
Apple released the $59.99 starting price, and then we calculate from there up.
We've guessed from there up.
Well, it's in print on the Apple website.
The starting price is known, but the prices above that are not.
Right. Right. So
regardless, I would call the Mac Pro the only bullet point that supports what you just said. I don't think the iMac Pro supports it. I don't think the 16-inch MacBook Pro that is likely coming necessarily supports that. We don't know whether or not it'll support that idea.
Yeah, but you know in your heart it's going to be expensive.
it'll be definitely more expensive.
I think it's going to follow the trend, not not the gap between, say, the iMac Pro and the Pro Trend, but I think it's going to be, I think it's going to go up in price. I think there's going to be a much bigger gap to prove that it's Pro machine.
That's not the point. We don't know if it's going to be more powerful. We don't know if Apple is delivering. Is delivering like additional battery power with that, different additional horsepower with that. We don't know any of those things. So that's I'm saying that
we don't know that the sun is going to rise tomorrow either, Brian.
That's not even reasonable.
Kelly's enjoying this.
I am. I made popcorn. It's going to be great. It's been fun. But I am interested if the rest of the product line is going to reflect that, this new stance of, you know, when we say Pro, we mean it, particularly when it comes to the laptops. That was the thing that I've wondered about since we saw the new Mac Pro in June, is what's actually going to, like, what does this mean for the other stuff that says Pro on it?
Well, to Brian's point, Kelly, processors get smaller, lower power, batteries become more efficient every year. Battery technology improves about 6% every year on average. So the natural course of technical evolution probably means supporting Brian's case that getting thicker dramatically, even a little bit, even not dramatically, is not probably necessary. If technology continues to go its course, the MacBook needs to get any thicker. So I'll give you that.
Well, I'm.
And that could be. That's a compelling argument from the standpoint of, like, what would always frustrate me about Apple's designs for the last several years was, as I put it, like no one sitting around saying, man, I'd buy an iPhone if only it was thinner. Right. Mm-hmm. Like no one is saying that. And people were not also saying, man, I'd buy a MacBook Pro if only it was thinner. Like, I just need less battery power in my life. I mean, like, no one was saying that. So Apple could maybe halt that, you know, seemingly there's a word that's escaping my mind, but that inevitable march towards thinness, mm-hmm. and start using some of those things that John just talked about to deliver better battery life and perhaps more power.
Of course, Brian, that's why I fell in love with the MacBook originally in 2015, because I was tired of lugging around a 4-pound MacBook Pro. It doesn't sound like a lot of weight until you carry it around in a backpack with charger and equipment and other stuff all day long. And the 920 gram MacBook running Mac OS was just a delight because it was like featherweight. So that did appeal to me as return from subroutine.
So I'm interested to see if there is this 16-inch that we've heard about, partly because I know more than one person who's still holding on to one of the old 17-inch MacBook Pros, partly because the screen size is something that they want to take with them in a mobile environment. So I'm curious to see what the evolution is going to look like. And if they don't make it thicker, like, how are they going to do more with the insides so that they can do things like 5G antennas and stuff like that? I'm curious to see what kind of shape that's going to take.
Yeah, there might be something to do with the square cube law, too. I'm just positing that maybe there's something going on with that. You know, the 16-inch doesn't have to be as thin as the 15-inch because it has a bigger screen and it needs a sturdier frame.
Yeah, it's a different machine.
Battery to drive a display longer, mm-hmm. just as long, get 10 hours. But it could be that you take advantage of the fact that a 16-inch, as you increase the envelope, gives you more latitude for battery size and electronics and fan and cooling and whatever. There might be some square cube law effect there. I haven't figured it out yet.
Yeah. And like I said, I'm very curious to see where that ends up getting us. And for all the reasons that you stated, John, and more. So as we find out more about this, we will definitely talk about it. Right now, what I want to talk to you about is our sponsor today. And our sponsor today is mywallstreet.com. And so it can be really complicated if you want to get started investing in the stock market, particularly in the US. Brokers can make it really easy to invest in whatever you want, but you can't really tell if you're close to getting a return or if these are smart decisions that you're making, especially if you're new to investing in the stock market. And most of the apps and brokerage stuff seems kind of like a black box, and they don't offer a whole lot in the way of guidance, like that may not be the best decision to make or things. And it's really easy to get overwhelmed, and that can make it really easy to just give up on trying to invest at all. So enter My Wall Street. They offer a short list of stocks their investors have spent hours researching. Some of those have grown fivefold since they actually made it on that list. And they're not brokers. So they offer this simplified investment plan, which is more like a companion than an actual broker. And as a TDO listener, you can access the entire My Wall Street app for free for 30 days instead of the usual 7. Visit mywallstreet.com/TDO. That's mywallst.com/TDO, and download their app now, and you can access that expert guidance and continue your investment journey for $9.99 a month. We'd like to thank My Wall Street for sponsoring the show today. And our next topic is an interesting observation sort of about the Google Pixel and how iPhone-ish it seems these days. Right, Brian?
Yes, Kelly. Yes. So it is interesting. We were talking about something Andrew during the meeting. We were talking about something Andrew had written a link teaser for, pointing to an article arguing that Apple might as well go ahead and release leak images of its own iPhone 11. Like, because Google leaked the Pixel 4 or something, whatever. That's a ridiculous argument. And and it's like, you know, why doesn't Apple just like change the way it does everything?
Right.
Whatever.
Well, they should, because, you know, reasons.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So ignoring that part, we were looking at the Pixel 4. I haven't paid much of attention to the Pixel 4, but something else Andrew had linked to was the Pixel 4 leak that Google sanctioned. And what was interesting is, like, if you look at the early iterations of the Pixel, I never thought that they were borrowing industrial design elements from Apple's iPhone. Not like, you know, say Samsung, mm-hmm. or even to a lesser extent HTC, or, you know, any of the other companies. You know, it used to be a sort of cottage industry for Android manufacturers to you know, basically rip off what they could from Apple in terms of industrial design. But I never thought that Pixel did that. I mean, I didn't think their Pixel devices were particularly attractive, but I didn't think that they were ripping off or even borrowing, to be kind, from Apple. And now, though, we have this Pixel 4. That thing sure looks a lot like an iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
Sure looks a whole lot like an iPhone.
It does. And this was a leak from Google. Like, they posted a picture of it on Twitter or something. Like, people are really interested, so we might as well show you a peek of what it looks like. Something like that. And so far, we haven't seen anything official as far as release. But we are seeing, I'm not sure what to, like, rumblings, I guess, or presumptions that, much like the Pixel 3 last year in October, that this one's going to come out in October as well.
Yeah, that's sort of what Google's been doing. And I'm not really talking so much about the square that's holding a lens array. Mm-hmm. That is similar to some of the leaked images that Apple did not sanction for the next iPhone. That to me, any resemblance there is inconsequential and just a product of having more than two lenses. It's the button, it's the bezels, it's the corners, it's the edges, it's the lack of any kind of writing on the back, right? Just a G mm-hmm. for Google. And I mean, the image that they posted, the device is turned off. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, actually, you know, I say that and I'm realizing that it must be, both of these devices must be showing us the back. I doubt they like engraved the G on the display on the front.
Yeah, odds are slim.
Right. Yeah. So, but looking at the back of this thing, it looks a lot more like an Apple device than any kind of Pixel that we've seen before. And that's an interesting move. I know John, you were asking like, why would they bother doing that?
Yeah. I mean, one has to understand why Google is building a smartphone at all. It's to showcase the best of Android technology for people who want to have always the latest version of Android.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sales doesn't seem to be a driving factor. It seems to be something that is driving Google towards, you know, just being an alternative.
Maybe they people want to change that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And as usual, whenever you do something for one reason and you're not coming on, you're not making as much money as you like, somebody comes along and says, well, why are we investing so much R&D in this if we're not lighting up the sales boards? So let's see what we can do about that.
Well,
that's the only theory I have.
One thing about it is I think regardless of sales, Google is always going to make a phone, because Android is Google's product, and this would be Android in its purest form. Mm-hmm. Because anybody who licenses it, like Samsung, if you buy a Samsung phone, you're not getting pure Android, you're getting the Samsung flavor. And if you buy a phone from like Motorola that's an Android phone, then you're going to get the Motorola flavor of Android. And everybody has their little twist on it, sort of like Windows. You know, there was a little bit of extra stuff or a little bit of UI something or a few little utilities you got on your Windows machine, depending if you bought it from HP or Toshiba or Dell or Gateway or whoever. And I think with Android, it's the same sort of thing. So, and this is actually why, and I know I'm the only person, but this is why I'm sad that there's not the Android tablet anymore from Google, that Google doesn't make that anymore, because it was a really easy way for me to get into having an Android device and being able to play with it and see what it was like. And I really missed that tablet. It was a lot of fun until the battery sort of gave up and I couldn't use it without it being plugged into the wall. But I think Google's always going to do this. And I think the design here is kind of Apple-y, like Brian said, with the side buttons and looking at it from that perspective. Like, if you took the G off the back and told me that this was an iPhone 11 leak, I would probably believe you.
Or at the very least, an iPhone mock-up.
Yeah. Or that somebody has like, come to what I believe to be a very logical conclusion about what the next iPhone will look like.
The one giveaway being that there haven't been any rumors of a four lens array from Apple, and this Google device has four lenses in it, or at least it seemed like it does.
Okay, it looked like three in a flash. So
it could be, yeah, it could be,
because right. that could one be. At the bottom is sort of a different thing. So. And I know people were talking, like people sort of mocked the triangle mock-up that came out. So maybe that's, part of where that came from. But I think, you know, one of the things that we were discussing was, coming to the conclusion that this is a really efficient way to do things and changing your design to update to that. Like, you know, everybody can kind of figure out that this is what you're supposed to do in this particular user interaction is very different from we're just going to wait and see what Apple does and copy that like slavishly. And that seems like you may get to a pretty similar place, but I feel like somehow you can tell, like like when Samsung does it versus when Google does it. It seems like a fundamentally different approach, even if it sort of gets you to the same place, which is having a button on the front of sort of silly, and you still need at least like one physical button on the side for whatever. And, you know, having the logo on the back is sort of handy and things like that. So I'm interested to see how this is going to stack up against what we actually get from the iPhone 11. How about you?
Well, it sort of reminds me of the Prius situation. The Prius car was funky, oddball,
yes, made
no concessions, totally aerodynamic. And then people got glommed onto that as a social statement, and they enjoyed being in a funky car. And then all of a sudden there came a time when Toyota got obsessed with the idea that they wanted to make the car have broader appeal and not look so geeky, which violated the prime reason why all their customers were buying the car in the first place. And the new Priuses tanked. They did not sell very well at all, according to what I read in Car Driver.
Yeah.
So this may be one of those effects.
Well, it's also possible that
iPhone envy,
you know, they just made the Prius uglier, and then people went, you know, that's just a bridge too far. And so I only say that because that's what happened at my house, was we totally would have bought one when they changed the body style, and then we got a good look at the body style and went, nope.
Yeah.
Going through the comments of the other tweets in response to this, first of all, very, like, dark thing to do to actually go down this rabbit hole, but
it is.
It's interesting, like, there's some people who are calling it, you know, amazeballs, and then other people who are going, oh my God, that's incredibly ugly. It looks like the iPhone. And then other people going, oh my God, it looks like an iPhone. That's awesome. And then other people who are like, it looks like an iPhone. Why would you do that? So I don't know. We'll see. I imagine that the Pixel will remain a niche Android device.
Same.
And that it's, you know, not going to take the Android world by storm. It is, by the way, the one Android device that I would buy. Mm-hmm. If I were going to buy an Android phone, it would be a Pixel device because I prefer to run naked Android.
Same.
I had a chance to handle one recently, a couple of weeks ago, and spent 3 or 4 minutes with it, and it was pretty cool. I liked it, and it was intuitive and easy to use and good looking.
Yeah, it's nifty. And I'm interested to see the 4 for the same reason. The 3 was pretty interesting. It seems like Android's a fun device. So we're going to call it there. We're just going to wait and see what everybody does so we can talk about it then. Brian, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Also, John, thank you for coming by to talk to me about particle debris.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Of course. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.